This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom.
My guest is Kendall Clark from Great Saline, Texas. Kendall was diagnosed with scoliosis after a fall he had. He was prescribed tramadol for the chronic pain and became addicted to it. Kendall is one of the many thousands of people for whom Kratom helped break an opiate addiction. Kendall left some comments on KratomScience.com and sent me an email expressing his desire to tell his Kratom story. If you'd like to be a guest on the Kratom Science Podcast, send me an email to brian@KratomScience.com or a Twitter message to @KratomScience. And I just wanted to direct everybody to a new post on KratomScience.com. If you go to KratomScience.com and click on blog, there's a post called Kratom Legislation 2020. I am following all the Kratom bills and the various states, and it's divided into Kratom ban bills and Kratom Consumer Protection Act bills. So I'm going to be updating that post throughout the year as hearings come up, as votes come up on these bills, and following the progress of those bills. And I just wanted to have a one-stop shop kind of for my own research as well. And so if you go in there and you see anything that needs to be updated or any bills that I might have missed in a state I missed, let me know. Just comment right on the post there. And we want to keep that thing up to date and make sure we follow the Kratom legislation. It's called Kratom Legislation 2020 on KratomScience.com, and you click on blog. And so where are you from?
I'm in East Texas. I live in a town called Grand Saline. It's just middle of nowhere, on the way to nowhere. Dallas is about an hour away, so there's not much between here and there.
You had mentioned that you were on tramadol, and now you're taking Kratom, and it's a lot less expensive.
Kratom is not expensive, but when I was ordering tramadol over the internet through an online pharmacy, their prices were out. Ridiculous. It was $257 when I first started ordering it for 100 milligrams pills. When I ordered the last time 3-4 months ago, it was $415 for 180.
Wow.
200 milligrams tramadol. 180 pills, 200 milli. Yeah, ridiculous.
So
Kratom is not expensive at all compared to that.
Yeah. All right, so you got on tramadol. So why did you start taking tramadol in the first place?
Let's see if I can remember. God, 3-4 years ago now, I fell off a hammock, actually, and hit my back. And I was not normally prone to back problems until then. But once I did that, it apparently triggered my scoliosis. So I went to the doctor, and first thing she did was, oh, you know how they go, take Tylenol, take ibuprofen, yada, yada. But that didn't work. And so I went back a few months later, and, oh, I'll give you some 500 milligrams naproxen, and naproxen's just generic Aleve, only prescription strength. Well, that didn't work either. After that is when she put me on tramadol, 50 milligrams, 60 pills, twice a day, which worked initially. And you know how tramadol, I don't know if you know much about it, but it's pretty weak. So 50 milligrams worked at first, then it got worse, and I started taking more. And I topped out at 100 milligrams, which is 250 milligrams pills, three times a day. So the prescription wasn't lasting a month. So then I called the pharmacy. They couldn't fill it. I'd call the doctor. Shouldn't you still have some? Well, no, I don't, because I've been taking 100 milligrams. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Do I need to get into all this? I can. I just didn't know if you wanted me to elaborate.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, so when were you diagnosed with, it's scoliosis, right?
Yeah. Curvature of the spine.
Yeah.
Well, initially, I just went to the doctor because my back was hurting and I couldn't figure out why, you know, because I'd hurt myself 2-3 weeks ago. And I wasn't prone to pain back then. It's like, hey, it should have healed by now. So then she did x-rays. That's when she found the scoliosis.
And this was how long ago?
God, at least 2 years, maybe 3.
So, yeah, because I remember we got checked for that in, like, sixth grade. Everybody gets checked for scoliosis. And so it wasn't, like, a thing you developed in your childhood or anything?
either I didn't have it or they didn't check for it. I don't remember getting checked at all, but that doesn't mean anything. I could have easily forgotten it.
So you became addicted to Tramadol, right? I mean, that's, I think, what you said in some of your posts and emails
to me. It took me a long time to figure it out, because at first I was just like, oh, I'm not, it's not bad. My mom warned me several months ago, but you know how it is. It's like, nah, I'm fine. When I would run out, what really finally got me to figure it out was when I'd run out and the pharmacy wouldn't fill it. I'm like, ah, okay, it's a week, no big deal. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with tramadol withdrawal symptoms, but it's opiate symptoms, which are bad enough, but it's also antidepressant symptoms on top of that.
So when did you first hear about Kratom? Do you remember?
It's been about a year, I think.
Okay.
I was ordering tramadol over the internet for months and months and months, and my money problems were just adding up and adding up and adding up, and I would overdraw practically every month because the pills were so expensive, my bills wouldn't go through. And my mom turned me onto it. I forget who turned her onto it, but yeah. I went down to my local smoke shop. I didn't even know we had a smoke shop down here. And they had Kratom, and I bought it. And there were no dosing instructions on the bottle. So mom's just like, I don't know how many to tell you to take. So then I had to start looking on the internet. And 2 to 6 grams. So then I had to sort of do the math and estimate how many capsules to take.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the thing is, well, you're not allowed to put dosing on the labels because of the FDA, but also everybody kind of has their own dosage that they find out. It seems to vary based on like a number of factors, so it's kind of not, I mean, I know mine is like maybe 2 teaspoons or a tablespoon, which I think it's about like 5 to 7 grams, but that does me good for like all day, and I basically take it as a boost. I don't really take it for pain or withdrawal or anything, but how long have you been taking, are you on just Kratom now, or are you still on
No, not Tramadol, no more, nope.
Well, that's great. So how long has that been?
Well, I was on it initially for about 6 months, I think, and the amount of capsules I would see, the smoke shop only sold 120 capsules at most. They didn't sell anything bigger. So it would run out in about a week. It was like $30 for 120 capsules. So I didn't have the money to get more. So then I would basically suffer. And then I'd go back to the doctor for more tramadol. And you know how that is. It's one gigantic circle back and back around and around. So I relapsed. I was back on tramadol. I started ordering over the internet again. And I did that for about 5-6 months until the last time I paid $415. I already said that, but
yeah,
that might not have been enough to convince me, but the 200 milligrams pills I was ordering and then having, you know, because I took 100 milligrams at a time, ended up causing a seizure. I had no idea what was happening until I woke up in the ambulance on the way to the hospital.
Gee. The tramadol caused a seizure.
Tramadol did. Yep.
Yeah. And so when you get that on the internet, is it legit or is it people just sell it off the internet? I mean, well, is that through like a doctor's prescription or?
Not a prescription.
Yeah.
But it's through, see, this is where it gets hazy because I don't know that much. There are thousands upon thousands of internet pharmacies that will sell you almost anything.
Yeah.
Well, not anything. Anything about to Schedule 4, which is what tramadol is.
Okay.
You know, all the really highly shit, like Vicodin, you can't get that shit, but weak opiates, tramadol, Viagra, shit like that. As far as I can tell, the pills I was getting were legit, because if they weren't, I probably would have been in withdrawal.
And then, so when you, okay, so now you transition to Kratom alone. How is that like? Did you quit cold turkey and then just started doing the Kratom, or did you taper off?
Nope, I quit. I took my tramadol until they ran out, and then I just took Kratom and never took anything else.
Yeah. And what was that like? Did you, you know, get sick or?
Nope. No withdrawal symptoms. That's why I love Kratom so much. That's why my comments were probably on and on and on and on and on and on, because Kratom did I mean, it was like I'd never taken tramadol, you know. I took the kratom. I took 3 grams, which is 500 milligrams capsules. Boom. Nothing. No pain, no symptoms, nothing.
Is that how much you take a day, just 3 grams?
3 grams at a time. I usually go 3, 4.
Yeah.
Depends on the pain. Up to, I think on really bad days, I've done like 6 or 7. I don't know how much you're supposed to take. I'm not sure if that's an upper limit.
I mean, some people take a ton of it, and some people only, you know, you seem pretty moderate as far as, but I, like I said, it's different for everybody.
Yeah, that's why I was a little ranty in my emails. I was like, man, there should be dosing instructions on this thing because, you know, some people take 2 grams. Some people, I think I've seen one guy who was off trying to get off fentanyl. I think he said he needs like 30 grams a day, which seems outrageous.
Yeah. There was a guy I interviewed for this that was taking a lot a day, and he just took a lot of kratom, and he, you know, it wasn't didn't seem to do harm to him.
One thing I've noticed is kratom has much better pain-killing effects than the tramadol did.
Okay.
Like, I've looked up the numbers on Wikipedia. Now, I don't know a bunch about pharmacology. I'm no expert. But tramadol is supposedly very, very, very weak as an opiate. It affects receptors, but not very strongly. Kratom is a lot stronger. I mean, I looked up metrazine on Wikipedia the other day, which is kratom's main alkaloid. And it said it kills pain on the level of oxycodone, which is very strong. And hydroxymetrazine, which is the other one, kills it, what'd they say, 17 times more powerful than morphine? I can't say whether they are or not.
Yeah.
I just know my pain's gone.
Yeah. That's good. And do you just get it at the smoke shop down there? Do you ever order it online?
I used to order it online. Then companies started getting to where their credit card processors would go down.
Yeah, they're not allowed to sell kratom with credit cards anymore because the companies won't. The credit card companies have banned it from sales on their credit cards. So I think they have to sell by check or Bitcoin.
This to me. I mean, I've heard all the reasons, but the whole DEA or is it FDA? God, the two confuse me. Paranoia, it puzzles me. Why do they put all those warnings, not for human consumption? Do they think people buy kratom capsules, break the capsules open, and pour them onto candles and burn them? Seriously.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, they know what they're doing with it, but it's you can't say it's for human consumption. It's not legal because it's not regulated. So that's why we're getting all these laws passed in each state. The states themselves are regulating it, and they're saying, you know, you can consume this as long as you can sell it for consumption as long as this, this, and this are on the label. You can't sell it to anybody under 18. Ohio right now is just looking at that law, and they're actually having it regulated as a food product, so it will be sold specifically for consumption, but it's not in the law yet, and you can't sell anything that's not regulated as a, you know, a food product unless it's specifically.
I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But one thing that confuses me, like when I first started out for Kratom looking for dosage advice, I kept having to sift through so much garbage. I mean, there were, what you know, WebMD and Mayo Clinic, and I know there were more. But it was on and on and on and on and on about how Kratom was addictive and didn't work and never did anything. And everybody who thought it was an opiate was lying or fooling themselves. And then I find you guys and I go, why the fuck did I just have to sift through all that?
Yeah, I mean, I was hired on here in, like, September of 2018, and the information they put up, like, the guys that own the site, who are my bosses, have been into Kratom since, like, 2007, so they're pretty, I mean, it's as close as you can get, but like I said, everybody's dose is different, so, you know, one person takes a little bit, one person has to take a lot, so it depends on, because I've giving it to some of my friends, and they're like, oh, it didn't do nothing. And I'm like, well, you might have to take a little more, you know? So it's kind of, everybody has to do their own kind of research on it.
But why all the stuff about, I mean, I'm my opinion here, but why do all these laws and all these companies. Oh, don't take kratom. What do you want me to take? Hydrocodone? You want me to get addicted to that? You want me to take methadone? You want me to take Suboxone? What?
Yeah, well, right now we're thinking, you know, the FDA is trying to get it banned, but that's because they're made up of a lot of pharmaceutical companies. So one theory is, you know, they don't want people buying a cheaper alternative. They want, if kratom is to be legal, they only want it to go through the drug process, which is like 10 years and millions of dollars. And then it'll probably cost $1,000 a pill, you know. They did the same thing with CBD and Epidiolex. Epidiolex costs somebody with epilepsy like $13,000 a year.
CBD and THC.
But CBD does the same thing, you know. So it's like, yeah, they just want to get control of it so they can, you know, have the power, and so their friends that donate to them can make all the money on the substance.
Is that going to happen? Because that scares the hell out of me. I just fought through getting over tramadol. I don't want to have to go back to it.
No, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen soon. But I think what's going on now is pretty good, because they're getting it regulated in a lot of the states. I was just writing up something I'm posting tomorrow. It has an update on all the states. Like, some states are trying to ban it outright, and some states are trying to regulate it. So the company, the vendors can put on the label all that things you were talking about. What's that?
Yeah, that's what would be nice. Dosing. I mean,
yeah.
If someone's going to get off opiates, then they've gotten used to taking one pill. Well, maybe they take three or four, but you get the point. They take a standard dose. If they come to something and the only thing they can find is, well, you might need two, but you might need 20, they're going to go, what?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think our recommended doses on our site, which is just a news and information site, are pretty, they're pretty safe doses. I mean, they might, if you start with one teaspoon, you might not feel anything. I always tell people to do two teaspoons, because it's kind of like, I felt something with two, and you know, above that, some people might get sick, and if you're kind of a heavy, opiate addict, and cold turkey, you might want to take a little bit more. Well, okay, here's another question. You were talking about how Tylenol, Advil, people think you can just take that and it'll help your pain. So what do you say to that?
It can. If you have the right kind of pain that they can treat, and if you have the right level of pain, they can work. If you don't, they aren't going to do anything.
It doesn't work for you, though. You know, that's what you're saying.
Nothing. Yeah. Nope. Because I don't understand my own pain. It could be nerve. It could be, hey, where are my opiates? I don't know. I just know that I take Tylenol and I don't feel nothing, no matter what, how much I take. Now, if you throw in a if you throw in a dose of codeine, I'm good. If you don't.
Yeah, then you don't feel anything.
Right.
Kratom should be available, just like Tylenol and Advil is, to anybody. And to ban
that's
it,
what
to
I was
me,
trying
is
trying to get
stupid
at with all my rambling. To give you an example, when I was first going into Kratom, I didn't know anything about it. And I was looking around on the internet, and I kept finding, you know, different dosage. So I got desperate, so I called my local Brooks Pharmacy, and I asked the pharmacist, you know, I figured, you know, he would tell me. He did eventually tell me, but A, he acted like I was asking him for information on heroin. He was all furtive and, what do you want to know? And, you know, all secretive. He actually got me into another aisle and got real close. What do you want? That kind of put me off. But secondly, he's like, take no more than two capsules. And I immediately went, that's nowhere near the doses I've seen. What are you talking about?
So they had Kratom there at the pharmacy?
No, they don't. They don't sell Kratom at the pharmacy. I called the pharmacy and asked my pharmacist, because I figured he would know what's in Kratom. I told him the active chemical so he could look it up and tell me a dose, because the doses I was finding was kind of all over the place. And he told me a dose, but the dose he told me was a third of the minimum. I mean, he'd only take 1 gram, which I know is way too little to do anything. Why did he tell me to do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I think, well, I mean, because it's safe to, if you start out small and then nothing happens and take a little bit more, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it's not so much the dosage he gave me. It was more his secretive, there's spies around every corner kind of attitude. Like, what?
Yeah.
I can't really describe it He's never been like that, and he was like that, and I've never forgotten it.
Once these consumer protection acts pass in the state, and there's four states that already passed it, then it'll be completely legal to sell kratom for consumption, and that's some of the states even require dosing instructions on the label. So,
does Texas do that?
Because no, Texas, it's completely legal in Texas, and I think there's a lot of kratom consumers in Texas. I think we get a lot of comments from Texas, and as far as vendors I've spoken to, they said they sell a lot of kratom in Texas, so I don't think there's no threat of a ban there, but they're trying.
The reason I asked was because my bottle that I bought at the smoke shop says serving size 6, which I assume means normal dose, 6 capsules. So, I mean, that's about the closest I've ever seen the dosing instructions on a bottle. Most of them don't even have that.
Oh, so it had dosing instructions on the label.
Well, I don't know if you'd call it dosing, but it was closest I've ever seen. So I take 6, and it works. I buy the red Mengda 500. Is kratom getting more legal? Or is the FDA trying to do what they did before and Schedule 1 it, which they tried and failed?
They sent the recommendation to the DEA, but the DEA hasn't touched it since 2016. The NIDA, the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, has spent like $6 million in research on kratom. So if it becomes illegal, that money will be wasted because researchers won't have easy access to it. That's why marijuana hadn't been studied until recently, because it's been illegal for all those years. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be federally outlawed, but they're trying to get the states, the American Kratom Association is trying to get the states to pass these Consumer Protection Act laws. So, a lot of them require the vendors test the product so you're not getting something adulterated, because right now it's kind of like the Wild West. Some of these vendors they might be putting something else in it, but
there was this one vendor I heard about that was calling it Krypton, and what they were doing was it was kratom with otis methyl tramadol, which is tramadol once gone through the liver and being metabolized, and that was killing people.
Yeah, and that was in I think Sweden or Switzerland. Sweden, there was 9 people that died. That's right. Yeah.
So like these states are trying to make people who sell kratom test their stuff, make sure it's actually kratom and not other stuff, so that people who want to buy it can buy it. That's good. But why all the, when kratom doesn't work, go to your local drug rehab to get on methadone or something. Why that? Because I still see that.
Like, who's saying that?
Mostly the Mayo Clinic and WebMD.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen too many, but
because their information is like passed down by the Food and Drug Administration, so WebMD is part of the Food and Drug Administration, I believe. One of those is not Mayo, but I think WebMD. So they're just kind of basically like the voice of them. So once it becomes like this is what the FDA said, why would they? So even though their science has been proven to be wrong, then kind of all the medical establishment kind of, they're conservative about that stuff, and they say, well, we think it's dangerous.
The thing that swayed me was I kept seeing story after story after story. Man, I was on Oxy. Man, I was on heroin. Man, I was on fentanyl. Man, I was on Tram. And I kept seeing all over and over and over, and I'm like, it's got to work, or people wouldn't be saying it. So that's what got me to try it, but it's just... what do I mention? Like, the whole point I did the podcast was to try to get people, how do I encourage people who are just struggling to take kratom? I'm not exactly sure. I mean, if I say it works and they find out it doesn't, I mean.
Well, it works for a lot of people, and that's what we're doing. We're just having people tell their story. That helps me. I mean, if somebody got sober and they tell their story about how they used to drink a lot and now I'm sober, just telling your story to me is the best thing that works, and that's what we're trying to do here. I'm just more interested in your story. Like, did you used to have a job, or did you used to work, or?
Nah, I've been blind my whole life, so I'm on government money.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, not a big deal. I usually don't mention it unless there's like a real, reason to do it. Usually,
I mean, it's part of your story.
I don't think it has anything to do with my tramadol thing, but it's more, yeah, I mentioned my mom because she's one of those, already mentioned the whole Tylenol leaf thing, didn't I? But I can't seem to explain to her, you know, kratom. She's like, oh, you should take kratom for a few weeks and then stop. I would if the pain that I take it for would quit. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do I explain that? I can't, because then she goes, the pain's in your head, it's not real, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure you've heard all this before. But, I mean, yeah, it's like she thinks the pain is a result of withdrawal from tramadol, even though I haven't had tramadol in months, so that's not it. She's been to my doctor's appointment. She's seen the x-rays, but she seems to think that you can take kratom for a week or two and then quit, which you could if your pain went away. But if it doesn't, I mean, I take it for pain. So if my pain quits, I don't take.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my spine curving. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know much about scoliosis. I didn't think it was supposed to hurt like this, but maybe it's just the spine curving. I don't know. But the only thing that seems to work are opiates. And I don't know if it's because I took an opiate. No, I didn't. I took Tylenol first. Okay, so that's not it. I think it's because it cuts the pain switch off in the central nervous system, and the other ones don't. What they basically do is they interact with hormones that are supposed to keep you from feeling the pain, only it doesn't work on me.
I think a lot of the, you know, how she says take it for 2 weeks and then get off, a lot of people, if they want to cut their doses down and they feel like they're taking more and more to get the same effect, then they'll cut way down and just, you know, kind of bear with it a little bit, bear with the pain a little bit, and then it'll lower their tolerance. Or some people will quit for a while and it'll lower, because it is kind of an addictive thing, kind of like caffeine. If, you know, if one cup of coffee did you, now you got to take two. And it gets expensive when it comes to kratom, depending on how much you take. So that might have been that might have been what your mom was talking about. But I don't think you necessarily have to stop if it's not, you know, a bad habit. If it doesn't become a bad habit, you know what I mean?
I vary the dose up a little bit. I mean, I think I've taken as many as 10 capsules before on a really bad day. But unless the pain is horrible, I don't go above 6.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's much at all. I mean, I think that's a normal dose. I see it as something that should be on the aisle next to coffee and tea, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Kendall Clark. The music is by Rizzy. The song is called Memories of Thailand. This is written and produced by me, Brian Gallagher. For more information on all things Kratom, see kratomscience.com. Take care.